One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Well, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, Roll with the Punches. Hi, everybody. It's your old friend Mike Houlihan, Hibernian Radio, brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and our old pal Mike Haggerty, Buick GMC Volkswagen over on Cicero Avenue on the south side. So glad to be here once again. I think this is our sixth show. I just started this new show in January, and just to give you a little intro, one of the things we like to do is discover the myths, the myths growing from our own experiences here in Irish Chicago. And to discover the mythological warriors, all we have to do is look to our Irish police, firefighters, and paramedics. These are the heroes of our time, fighting in a war that never ends, risking their lives for the safety and well-being of us and our families. So that's what this new show, Hibernian Radio, is going to try to do. We're going to uncover the oral history and stories of our mythical Irish heroes and warriors. Tonight we got a great one. Lieutenant Ray McInerney from the Chicago Police Department. Ray, welcome to Hibernian Radio.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Great. So glad of you to come and join us.
Oh, now, great to be here.
How long have you been a cop?
Going on 28 years.
God bless you.
Yep.
Did you see that I sent out an email blast? Did you see the email blast I sent out?
I don't think I did.
A cop's cop is what I called you.
Oh, my God.
A cop's cop. And then Billy Donnelly said you were the quintessential Chicago cop. So take us back. You grew up on the south side over by Garfield Boulevard.
Yeah, I'm from St. Basil's Parish. I was raised there until about fifth grade, and then at fifth grade I went to St. Nicholas of Tallatine on the south side.
You got brothers and sisters?
All boys, three boys.
Okay.
Yeah. All graduates of St. Rita High School on 63rd
Street.
Oh,
Mustang, yeah.
The old one. Yeah.
Oh, right over on 63rd
Street. Yeah, 63rd Street, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Were your brother? You have brothers?
All brothers. Three. I'm the youngest of four.
Anybody else in law enforcement?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
What did your dad do?
My dad was a fireman for 38 years,
okay.
And all my brothers chose different paths.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So you're at St. Rita. Did you play football there or anything?
I did for a couple of years.
Of course.
Yeah. Then I got tired of it. And
were you there in the Dennis Lick days or any of that stuff?
No, I was not. But I know Dennis Lick from the neighborhood. He was from West Lawn, so I knew.
Oh yeah.
I knew him, and he was in our golf league for a while. His knees aren't doing too well.
You know, we have a guy on every year, the big guy, Tim Maher. Do you know him? He went to St. Rita.
Oh yeah, okay.
He wrote a book all about their St. Rita team of I can't remember what year, but he's quite the character.
Yeah.
And he's got all the stats and everything and all the Rita Mustangs.
The Maher was, I think they were a big Rita family.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So did your brothers go to Rita too?
Yeah. All the brothers went to Rita. Yep.
And they, did your dad go to Rita?
No. Okay. No. Yeah. My dad was Saint Elizabeth, or was it?
You were at Rita when they had the old stadium.
Yes.
Where
you ran into
a brick wall in the end zone.
Yes.
Yeah. I played there.
That was usually the opposing team.
Yeah, that's what the way you worked it, too. Yeah. That was a wild place.
Yeah.
And then the locker room was like the machine shop or something. We'd be in there.
That was the visitors, you know.
Yeah.
You got to take care of the visitors.
But that's great. Now, that was before they moved over to Quigley.
Yeah, then they went to Quigley a couple of years later, six years later, I think. Something like that.
Rita's still there now on Western
Avenue.
It is
Avenue, on 63rd. Right? It's something different. It's not St. Rita anymore. I don't know what it is.
But St. Rita High School is there.
Well, St. Rita High School is
took
on
over Quigley.
79th at Quigley. Yeah, 79th and Western.
Yeah. All right, so did you go into the police department right out of high school?
No, I went into construction, actually, and then from construction I went to school just at Daly, and then I decided to get in corrections, and I worked at Cook County Jail for a couple years.
Yeah.
About 4 or 5 years.
Mike Sheehan help you out over there?
No, Mike did not help me out. Okay. That was before Mike, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I took the Chicago police test.
Yeah.
And I did well and went on the job. in 91.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Now, you had a varied career. You were in gangs for a long time, right?
Yeah, I was in gangs. Well, I started just in patrol.
Yeah, in the car. Yeah.
Yeah, just in patrol, answering calls in the night district at 35th and Low.
Oh, that's right. Everybody on the show has been through 35th and Low.
Yeah, some of your other guests, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And did that for 4 years and went to the gang team in the patrol division. And then from there, I went to a gun unit. I was on the gun unit for 8 years as an officer.
What's a gun unit, dude? Confiscate guns?
Yeah, they basically look for felons on the street with guns and do search warrants for guns. So we did a lot of search warrants, a lot of felony stops, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to make sergeant, did a brief stint back in 9 as a sergeant on the TAC team, and then went back to the gun team as a sergeant.
Oh.
And did that for another 7 years.
Now you're a lieutenant.
Now I made lieutenant about just over a year and a half ago.
Oh, good for you.
And in patrol in the 22nd District, Morgan Park.
Oh, that's where you're working?
Yeah.
Oh, you live not far from there. That's convenient.
Yeah, right in the neighborhood. It's very convenient.
Yeah.
Nice working in
you
the neighborhood.
Probably know everybody.
Know a lot of people.
Some of the bad guys, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I try to make it my, that's my job, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good place to work. Very nice. Very nice district.
It is. It's a good neighborhood.
Yeah. Great neighborhood.
Yeah.
Great neighborhood. Yeah.
So any stories you want to tell us about, you know?
What do you want to hear, Mike?
I want the scary stuff first. And the funny stuff, of course. I'm sure there's a lot of funny stuff. But
you want the scary stuff first.
You know, one of the things Eileen Guest was telling us, and she loved every minute of it. You know, I think she did 20-some years.
Oh, yeah.
But she said it was the people, the cops, were so hilarious and so much fun that she just enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Because they're salt of the earth, you know?
Yeah. Well, you got to have... it takes a special person to be a good policeman, you know. And I think it's a lot of it's personality. And I tell the young guys when I have roll call and stuff, I just tell them, I said, listen, you got to communicate. Communication skills, talking. You can't be afraid to roll down your window on a hot summer day and, you know, talk to the community and talk to everybody, tell them what's going on and see what's going on, you know. So that's a big part of our job. But, if you want to get into a story So you want to start scary, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one that scared the bejesus out of me. I was in the TAC team in the 9th District.
Yeah.
Trying to think how many years I had on now. Probably about 7 years, maybe.
Yeah.
6 years. With my partner at times. Okay to say his name, I'm sure.
Sure.
Danny Kinsley at the time.
Hi, and, Danny.
Yeah. Danny's a Southsider from Garfield Ridge neighborhood. And so we had some dealings with... basically a gang over in that area that sold a lot of drugs, but we had come in contact with some of the juveniles in different circumstances, and we cut them a couple breaks, you know.
Yeah.
So the night prior to our narcotic surveillance, unbeknownst to us, there was shots fired at the house by a red car. Well, that day, it was Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
We got in a red car and went and did a surveillance on the narcotic house. And here we see the guy come out, and he makes some drug sales. We can't find out where his drugs are. He comes out with a dog, and we lose sight of him.
Yeah.
Well, the next thing I know, now our windows are tinted in the car.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the driver. My partner's in the passenger. So I tell him, hey, light a lighter like we're two crackheads, and you're smoking crack or something. So they don't think, you know, to come look at us. Well, all of a sudden, I get a nice .45 on my window, knocks on the window. And he says, who the bleep is this?
Yeah.
And I look at him. I know the kid. I says, Dino, it's me, Mac. Well, unbeknownst to me, I didn't see. I pulled my weapon. He dropped the gun and took off running.
Oh, when he saw it was you.
Yeah. Well, he didn't see me. He heard me through the window. You know, he heard me. I say, hey, Dino, it's me, Mac. Don't shoot.
Yeah.
And he knew me.
Yeah.
Took off running. After about 15 minutes, we find him. We can't find the gun.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're such great cops. It's underneath my car. And the guy, he tells us, because he knew I was mad. You know, you get a little upset when someone points a gun at you.
Yeah.
You know? And he says, Mac, the gun's under the car. I'm so sorry. And he proceeded to tell me a little bit about the drug trade and apologized for pulling a gun on me and said that
what do you want to know?
Me and my partner were good guys. He would have never pulled the gun on us. Yeah. But, you know.
But he heard about the red car.
Yeah. So, you know, every now and then I'll tell that story to some of the young cops. I'll say, if I didn't have a relationship with this kid, Easter Sunday, you know, knock on wood,
It could have been a bad Friday for you.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're laughing. You can throw a joke in there on that one. That's a good one.
So what year was that?
God, that had to be about 87, I think.
Yeah.
No, not 87. That would have been 97. 97. Huh. 87.
Now, how do you establish a relationship with these kids?
You know, you just got to talk to them. It's like anything else. You just talk to everybody. And it really goes a long way when you and you know what? I don't think people realize it. Cops give people breaks all day.
Yeah.
And Chicago cops, I think Chicago police are known for that. You know,
yeah.
Whether it be something minor like traffic or something a little different, you know, back in the day. Now it's a little different because you can't do what you used to do. And it kind of hurts the job a little bit.
You can't do anything anymore.
Yeah, right.
There's a culture out there that is very anti-cop. I can't stand it. It's tough being a cop now, more than ever, I think.
It can be. I think it is for the young guys, but, you know, they really, with these cameras, the cameras work a lot of times in our behalf. They work in favor of us.
Oh, yeah.
And
the
young guys really know how to, they articulate it good. Because basically, you're narrating your own story. When you make a traffic stop or you stop a guy you think was selling drugs or a gun, I mean, you're on camera the whole time.
And you know it's running, so you say, here's why I'm doing this.
You tell them right off the bat, you're on camera, you know. And then sometimes it gets escalated in a bad way, and a lot of times, though, it's escalated, and it shows that we did the proper thing.
Yeah.
You know, the camera works, I tell the guys, it works on your behalf probably many more times than it works against us.
Yeah. When did cameras come in, the body cams?
The body cams have been out about 2 years. And
Only just two years.
And everyone in patrol has them, and most of our units have them now throughout the city. So, yeah.
How many cops work that district, 22?
22 has, I would say, about 225.
Okay.
Right around there. Are there three shifts? There's three shifts, Three shifts, yeah. Just, you know, some of your other busier districts have more officers.
Right on 111th Street.
Yeah, 111th and Prospect, yeah.
Where was the 151st and Wentworth, is it?
That was Area Central, 2nd District.
Okay.
Area 1 at the time,
back in the day. That's a little rougher area, right?
Yeah. You know, it's not. I worked there for when I first made sergeant. I worked at midnights there for a brief stint.
Oh, yeah?
It's not that bad of an area. It has some crime problems. It has some gang problems. But it's got some nice areas, too, decent areas.
And so you're now working in 22 every night out in the patrol car?
So I'll work 2 days. I'll work inside. I'll be the watch commander, and then the other 2 days I'm usually on the street.
And what's it like being a watch commander? You make all the assignments and everything.
Yeah. You just do assignments. You assign people to their cars. If they got any kind of special assignments, you need to put them on, like a robbery pattern or a burglary pattern, anything like that. You'd assign a certain amount of cars or carrying a sergeant, something like that.
Now, tell the detectives where to go as well?
No, we have detectives in our district now. You know, that's something new they started years back. Detectives handle they'll handle little case reports that they get from the area.
Yeah.
I don't have much contact with them unless we get a felony case that we need to talk to them about.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Yeah, we don't really have that much contact with them.
What's your gut tell you about this whole culture, anti-cop culture?
I think it's got
to change. That you want to say on the air. Yeah,
I mean, I just think it's got to change. You know, and there's a certain agenda that's out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a certain agenda. Everyone's got an agenda these days.
Yeah.
If you go into a community and you'd ask the people, you know, what do you think of your police? I think the majority of the time they're going to say, I love the police. You're going to get some people that don't like us. But, you know, you can't. I try to tell people, hey, it's like any other job. Do you like every person at your job? You know what I mean? You come across people you might not like. It's no different, as Mike points to his partner in crime.
Just kidding. Now, what about you get a bad partner and you're like, I can't work with this guy?
You know, I've been blessed. I've had probably 5 or 6 partners, and every one of them's been awesome. I've been lucky. I know sometimes.
How long do you work with a partner? How many years?
It all depends on, like, what happens. So I started out in 9 and worked with an officer, John Healy and Terry McGuire, nice Irish guys.
Yeah.
And they went their ways. You know, one went to one made sergeant, and the other one CTA. CTA.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, down here. The old building was down here.
Yeah.
And then I worked with a Officer Slavin for some years, great partner. And then an Officer Kinsley, one made sergeant, the other one made detective. So I'm kind of going through the list.
Yeah.
And then I worked with Mike Popish, a nice, great copper. And he ended up making sergeant. I ended up making sergeant. And like I said, now I was blessed to make lieutenant. And here I am.
With that, we got to take a break.
Okay.
But when we come back, I want one more story, okay?
One more story.
We're talking with Lieutenant Ray McInerney, Chicago Police Department. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000 or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero and tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
And we're back with Hibernian Radio. We're having some fun here with Lieutenant Ray McInerney of the Chicago Police Department. He's telling us some stories. 22 years, 27 years, what did you say?
27 going on 28, Mike.
God bless you. That's terrific. You know, when I was a kid, I got into trouble occasionally.
Sure.
And it was like drinking in the woods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the cops would bring us home. You were talking about it. Sometimes you have to give somebody a break and they... So I got the feeling after a while that they wanted to catch me because my old man would always duke them, you know. Thanks for bringing them home.
That was way back when, Mike.
So I don't have to go over to Gresham to pick him up. When he come to Gresham to get me, there was always the perfunctory smack in the head in front of the cops, you know, to show you what a, you know, badass he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd bring my brother. I have five older brothers, so they... So
your poor mother.
Yeah, my God, bless her. But I got to know the police of Gresham very well. All right, so you got another story you're going
to
tell us.
Yeah, so funny ones. I'd probably have to have a Guinness with you to tell one of those. But I can think of another pretty scary one. Myself and my partner, we were on the gun team in Area 1, which was 51st. So we were just about a block away from the station.
51st and Wentworth.
51st and Wentworth. We were a block away from west of there, 51st and Princeton.
Okay.
There's a spot there they call the Hole, and it's a gang called the Mickey Cobras sells drugs out of there. Mickey Cobras, big Southside gang, yeah. So we went and pulled up on them, and there was a couple guys in front of a known drug house.
Were you guys undercover?
No, just plain clothes. But we could see, when we drive down Princeton, we could see that there was a large gang of them out in front of there. And back then you could... pull up to any of the gang members, and if you knew they were gang members, you could order them to disperse.
Yeah.
You know,
take a walk. Yeah.
Take a walk. So that's what we're going to tell them to do. But one of them decides to pull out a gun and run in the house. So my partner runs in after him.
Yeah.
And gets in there before me, Louis Ortoneda. Got to give him credit. And and they closed the door on me.
They wouldn't let you in.
Wouldn't let me in. Yeah. And then I finally kicked the door in, going after them, and there's about 100 people in there.
Oh, my God.
A big party going on. I could see my partner, which is he's a rather big guy, in the back. I could see his head. And then I see in front of me about 20 guys start coming at me.
And they know you're a cop.
Oh, they know me. They know me as Mac.
Oh, yeah.
They say, hey, Mac, what are you doing in our, you know, doing our crib? What are you doing in our house?
Yeah.
I said, hey, man, somebody came in here with a gun. We're going to get this guy, get this gun, and we're out of here.
Yeah.
You ain't doing nothing, they told me.
Oh.
They start coming at me.
Yeah.
So I pull my gun.
Yeah.
And I'm more afraid now. I'm like, am I going to get my butt kicked? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's a good amount of them coming at me, and they're like, what are you going to do with that, with the gun? So I said, listen, you got me up against the wall. I said, I'm not going to let you get my gun. You're not going to hurt me. I will shoot you if you come at me.
Wow.
I'd rather not, but I will. And they decided to let me. They let me walk. I went to my partner. We had to leave the house. We ended up kicking everyone out one at a time, searched them, and we ended up going in the house and recovering the gun.
Oh, you found it.
But we didn't find the bad guy
because
we couldn't, you know, we couldn't articulate who it was.
Sure,
But, you know, and then you got, like, people don't understand. You got, that person actually came up to me and apologized. Not the guy with the gun, but the guy who said, we're going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
You know, he said, hey, Mac, you know, no hard feelings. I said, oh, sure, now that I'm outside with my guys, it's no hard feelings, right?
Yeah.
But there was some hard feeling.
Being cornered.
There was some hard feeling. Let me tell you, my temper was up there. I was.
That's a scary job, man.
It can be. It can be.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, I've seen, you know, I've seen a baby delivered. I've seen, you know, guys help save babies, you know, give mouth-to-mouth to a drowning baby in a tub.
Oh, God.
Stuff like that. You're like, that's the best, you know, when you can do something like that.
Yeah.
The other part is fun. For a young copper, you get on there, chase the bad guys. It's fun. It's a blast. But you know,
is there any kinship with other Irish cops? I know there's the Emerald
Society.
Think it's,
for sure. And I think
a long history.
It's more, you know, it's more there's a kinship, I think, with cops in general.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, of course.
Definitely.
Brotherhood
I think
of the Blue.
Back in the day, like when I got on, all my bosses were Irish bosses. And, you know, I think they showed a little bit extra extra heart or understanding for a fellow Irishman.
Yeah.
But I think everyone's kind of just, nowadays, it's just you're in blue. And, you know, it's just you treat each other fair and with respect, just like they'd like to be treated.
There's a lot more police officers, according to the Department of Justice, committing suicide these days.
Yes.
What's your take on that? Is it more? It's obviously
more
traumatic.
I don't know if we don't handle it as well as we used to, or my thought on it is that I think we have a lot more on our plate now.
You know,
a lot of single parents.
Yeah.
You're the mother. You're the father.
Yeah.
You know, you got all these problems, and then you got the job problems.
Yeah.
And you don't know. You just don't know how to deal with them all. You know. Yeah. And then I always tell the guys, you know. We used to do what they would call street stops on guys, and you'd get an event number. You'd get on the radio and say, I got five people stopped. Well, in certain neighborhoods, they might be stopped by the police five times. So they're fed up of being stopped by the police.
Yeah.
Same guys. But guess what? Those cops every day are going in that same neighborhood, and they're getting sworn at.
Yeah,
they're getting bottles thrown at them. So everyone takes that in differently, you know?
Yeah.
Just like someone in the community is affected negatively by an officer that might not treat them the right way.
Yeah.
Listen, you go in, you work some neighborhoods, you're treated like crap every day.
Yeah.
So if that's all you get, I don't know how some guys deal with it, you know?
Yeah. I don't either.
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, God bless you for being out there and fighting the fight that never ends.
Yeah.
And would you come back?
My pleasure. I come back, and I'm going to get another name of someone to.
Oh, yeah, please suggest
another Irishman, McCarthy, and he's going to have some stories for you.
Well, we don't want anybody who's not an Irishman. It's kind of the theme of the show. But stay safe.
Okay, you got it. I will.
Take care of those kids. Oh, here's a guy I'll introduce you to. You'll get a kick out of him. We're going to take a break here on the Hibernian Radio. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
World apart is a shining pony, one-horned romantic of old stories, dining on landscapes and on sea breezes, while we rest on seats with the other creatures. We are benched by the life of writing, forbidden to promise freely on lost subjects of the open-hearted, till nothing could be said but she. Friends for life, oh, friends for life, oh, pining in the night I see stand, with each noise that once rattled a piece of pine, now winging it with these, well, this spring could be stepmaster of peace until held hands keep us swooping in hunger, torpedo mighty moonlight hunters, treetops swaying and far beyond view, where she may sleep and feast far from you. Friends for life, oh, friends for life. But you're a tearaway, gonna run off in the night. You're gonna leave that girl smiling in the shadow of the spike. You're on your way to somewhere, gonna leave no one behind. Now it's time to celebrate the world you leave behind. Let's celebrate. Oh, 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 friends for life. Do I wish for gold? Do I try and do my best what I am told? Or do I rebel with a battle cry when to add more tears in this world's not right? No, I will, and I where the music's loud, where the campfires warm up the screaming crowds, where the girls dance in the hot lights on, to add more tears in this world's not right. So pitch your chair away, gonna run off in the night, you're gonna leave that girl smiling in the shadow of the spike. You're on your way to somewhere, gonna leave no one behind. Now's the time to celebrate the world you leave behind. Let's celebrate. Oh, 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 oh. And the girls in the balcony let down their hair, and the boys in the cheap seats have to stop and stare. And the girls in the cheap seats held out their hand, oh boy, if you love that girl, you better make your stand, that's right. It's your tear away, gonna run off in the night, you're gonna leave that girl smiling in the shadow of the spike. You're on your way to somewhere, gonna leave no one behind. Now's the time to celebrate the world you leave behind, so let's celebrate. Oh, ground that we're waltzing on, and holding fortunes in each palm. What's holding us together is just imagination. What's holding us together is just imagination. Friends for life.
Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Hey, he was great. Lieutenant Ray McInerney. A cop's cop. That's exactly what he is. Just great company. But you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window, Ken's or Rog's or Hart's are in those great saloons. I see the ghost of my old pal, Jimmy Goff, through the mist. And he says to me, hey, Hooley, who died? And this guy's amazing. Father George McKenna, 99, the oldest archdiocese priest. And he was the chaplain at Midway Airport. Father McKenna used to set a timer when he'd get at the chapel at Mass for his sermons so that they wouldn't go on longer than the time it took to cook an egg. I've always believed in a short homily. You make one point, you use one illustration, and it's something to look for the lesson to the people to remember. That's a great idea. What an amazing guy, 99 years old. Some air traveler said he changed their lives. Nancy Westring, a native Southsider, encountered him at Midway in 2008. She's a nurse. She's preparing to fly home to Seattle when she was hit by a panic attack about boarding the plane. Then she heard the intercom say that Catholic Mass was about to start in the chapel. I hadn't been in church for 18 years. The first thing that just struck me was that he set a timer for his homily. He set it for 3 minutes, and that's how long he spoke. He said more in those 3 minutes than I'd ever heard a priest say. He calmed my fears. He actually turned this woman's life around. He saved me spiritually. He really was the kindest man. They developed a, you know, she talked to him afterwards and communicated. She had been away from the church for years and years and years. So God bless him. What a character. His Father McKenna's mom was from County Mayo, and his father was from County Limerick. His first posting was at Maryville Orphanage. He also served at St. Richard, St. Barnabas, Bethel, Alaska, St. Catherine of Alexandria in Oak Lawn, St. Terence, Elsip, and Our Lady of the Snows. Loved to play golf. What a character. He also taught at, well, here's a good story. He also taught at Quigley North and South campuses, where he used memorization techniques to master the names of the hundreds of students he had over the years. I think he failed one kid at Quigley in 20 years, his nephew said, and he felt bad about it. And, folks, that kid was Skinny Sheehan. No, just kidding. All right, God rest his soul, Father George McKenna. What a guy. And, you know, kudos to Maureen O'Donnell over at the Sun-Times. She just writes the greatest obits. She is a talent beyond compare. And so if you see her writing an obit, read it. It's well worth it. Also, Owen Doherty, 85, a native of County Donegal, devoted husband of 56 years to Mary, the loving father of Daniel, Mary, Michael, and Kathleen. Owen had 13 brothers and 4 sisters. He survived by Sheila, Joseph, Ambrose, George, and Martin. And for 60-plus years, he was a member of Iron Workers Local 1. God rest his soul, Owen Doherty. Also, Mary Elizabeth O'Donnell died suddenly January 29th. She was a devoted mom to Cashel and a retired teacher after 25 years at St. Gall School, where she taught all 8th grades, 12 years at St. Eberhardt Chicago Public School, where she taught 2nd grade. She still loved the smell of chalk dust. And in retirement, she was a substitute teacher at St. Albert the Great in Burbank. Board member for a long time of Chicago Gaelic Park. God rest her soul, Mary Elizabeth O'Donnell. Also, Bridget Flanagan, 91, from County Mayo, beloved wife of the late Bernard, and the mother of Susan, Brian, and Edward. God rest her soul, Bridget Flanagan. And finally, Kevin Patrick Ted Cronin, Sr., 94. He was an identical twin who lost his own father when Ted and his brother Bob were only 10 years old. Ted was drafted at the age of 19. He wound up fighting in the Battle of the Bulge. Amazing guy. Had 4 kids, Kevin Jr., Maura, Sean, and Lisa. God rest his soul, Kevin Patrick Ted Cronin, 94. So we think we can close up the crypt here, Billy. And I want to remind everybody, hey, you know what? You're looking for news. You're looking for good news. The Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish community in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all facets of the Irish community, check out the Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call 847-872-0700. Ask for our old pal Cliff Carlson or email cliff@irishamericannews.com. I want to remind everybody to drop in and see our pal Mike Courtney and his wife Dawn at the Twisted Shamrock Irish Pub, 6462 South Central. It's one of the best Irish pubs in Midway. I'll bet he knew that priest. Best Irish pubs in Midway area, and Mike and Dawn will take good care of you. God bless them. A shout-out to our friends at Celtic Boxing Club, Mike Joyce. What a character. He's been helping train kids and get them back in shape, the Celtic Boxing Club. And if you're headed over to Western Avenue tonight or any time this weekend, stop in and say hello to our friends Mary and Bernard at Barney Callahan's Irish Pub, 10618 Southwestern. It's the perfect Southside Irish Pub. There's always something going on there. Hey, and tell them Hooley sent you. March 9th and 10th, you can kick off St. Patrick's Day season at Barney Callahan's Pub. Fela is a celebration of Irish culture. This 2-day event is going to showcase traditional Irish music and dance. They got an incredible lineup. There will also be workshops, food, and, of course, drink. Come and join us at the pub where it all began. And you'll be hearing more about that as we move along on the show. Okay, we're going to take one more break here on the Hibernian Radio Show. And we'll be right back with some silliness. So stick around.
Come on, see you. Hearts down by the land, gave a cowboy's man with their shovels slung behind them. Twas in the pub they drank the stuff, and up in the spike you find them. They sweated blood and they washed down mud with pints and quarts of beer. And now we're on the road again with McAlpine's Fusiliers. McAlpine's got was a well-built hut. His shoulders kept a bit sunsea. And what he went to look for a tea was McAlpine's Fusiliers. Oh, well, oh, oh, well, oh. Well, I remember the day when the barrel shake fell into concrete stairs. What the horse face said when he bought him dead, well, it wasn't what the rich called prayers. But my nabby shark was the one retort that reached down to my ears. Oh, when the going gets rough, well, you must be tough with my McAlpine's Fusiliers. Oh, well, oh,
Quebec. Oh, well. Oh, 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 well. Had me bet with Russians, Czechs, and Poles on shuddering jams in the Hydra Downs, burning beneath the Thames in a hole. Well, I grafted hard and I got me a card, and many a ganger's fist across me ears. Well, if you value your life, well, don't shine by Christ with McAlpine's fusiliers. Shine by Christ with my God by his views and ears.
If you're looking for an office in the Loop, you got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Let's of my mind, I love. You're the girl I do adore, and still I live in hopes to see the holy ground once more. Fine girl, you are now, the storm is over, and me I'm safe and well. We will go into a public house, and we'll sit and drink like hell.
On Hibernian Radio. Big shout out to my old pal, Dr. Ronnie Morasso, is here tonight. Thanks for stopping by. What a loyal guy he is. So, you know what, Billy? I wondered if you could please give me a hand at this door. Push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it. Celebrities send love to Empire's Jussie Smollett after suspected homophobic attack.
Who cares?
Trump needs to denounce MAG attackers, says Reverend Al Sharpton.
Who cares?
Jenny May is dating rapper Young Jeezy.
Who cares?
Nice name. Kate Hudson breastfeeds her three-month-old daughter Randy while working out.
Who cares?
Kourtney Kardashian's new man is David D. Duran.
Who cares?
Tori Spelling was ordered to pay American Express more than $88,000.
Who cares?
Kim Kardashian records Kanye West performing his own song at karaoke.
Who cares?
Prince Harry and pregnant Duchess Meghan will likely spend Valentine's Day apart. That's terrible.
Who cares?
Hey, Angelina Jolie sells organic dog treats with her kids at a park.
Who cares?
Wendy Williams' husband choked and kicked her, according to her mother-in-law.
Who cares?
And finally, Madonna shocks fans with her freakishly bulbous booty. Is it a junk-filled trunk?
Who cares?
Close it up! Push it, 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 push it. Oh, you know what? Hey, you know where we are now? We're in Hooleytown. Take us to Hooleytown. Let's get over to Hooleytown because that's when all the goofy stuff happens. Hooleytown. Here we go.
Just outside of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep.
All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yakky Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bunks and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This
yeah.
is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what?
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
My, yes. Mind.
Didn't place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly scream.
Have a seat.
Known as Hooleytown.
Hooleytown.
Welcome to Hooleytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooleytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hooleytown. Kind of a weird place. I love this music. It's a little bit of Van Morrison in the background. But that's my old pal, Greg Holloman, who takes us to Hooleytown every week. But this week, Billy, I thought you would enjoy this little story for Hooleytown. It's called Women Can Be So Insensitive. It's a story of our old friend Ralph. Ralph returned home from the doctor and told his wife that the doctor had told him he's only got 24 hours to live. Given this prognosis, Ralph asks his wife if they can make love one more time. Naturally, she agrees, and they do. They make love. But 6 hours later, husband goes to his wife and says, "Honey, you know, I now have only 18 hours left to live. Could we maybe do it one more time?" "Of course," the wife agrees, and they do it again. Later, as the man gets into bed, he looks at his watch and he remembers he's only got 8 hours left. He touches his wife on the shoulder and says, "Honey, please, just one more time before I die." She says, "Of course, dear." And they make love for the third time. After this session, the wife rolls over and falls asleep. Ralph, however, worried about his impending death, tosses and turns until he's down to only 4 more hours. He taps his wife on the shoulder, who finally turns, and he says, "Honey, I only have 4 more hours. Do you think we could sit?" And she says, "Listen, Ralph, I have to get up in the morning. You don't." That's the kind of stuff that happens in Hooli Town. Now, by rights, and we broke the rules today because who cares is supposed to be happening in Hooli Town. So we're going to have to close up Hooli Town. Take it out. Can you take us out with some of that funky Hooli Town type music? I want to remind everybody, though, you know, the Southside Irish Parade is coming. Don't forget. When is it coming? I think it's March 9th. No, it's usually on a Sunday. It might be on March 17th. Well, we'll get more details on that. But on March 2nd is the 4th Annual Southside Irish Parade Film Festival, and that's coordinated by our old pal, Maeve McSweeney and her dad, Tim, and her mother. What's her mother's name? I don't know. I can't remember now. She's from Ireland. She's from the Wee County. Julia. Julia's her mother. Okay. So the McSweeneys put this thing on, and they're really good at it. And they found this year a great film that I just happened to be a fan of because I looked at it last year for my film festival, the Irish-American Movie Hooli. The movie this year is Black 47. And I can't tell you too much about it, but it's a Western that takes place during the famine. It's wild. Also, there's a film on a Saturday afternoon for kids, Song of the Sea. If you got your kids, you want to bring them to that. But it's just terrific. Southside Irish Parade Film Fest. Go see Black 47. You will dig it. Also, our old pal Jimmy Deanahan is coming back to town. You guys remember Jimmy Deanahan. Skinny and I had him on the show many times. And when we were in Ireland, he would always give us a very special tour and the Dáil and stuff. He's coming back for Friday the 22nd of February. That's like in 2 weeks. For a big benefit for the Kerry GAA. They're having a big dinner. The Drake. What's that say? Cash? Let me read this. I got to put on my other glasses, folks. But it's a great opportunity for everybody from Kerry because they've been working on this for years. I remember when they first set it up, they had a luncheon over at Trump Tower, and I was there, and we interviewed Michal, the famous footballer and hurler. Actually, Jimmy Deanahan was a famous footballer and hurler. And you know who else was? Mr. P.J.O.D. was a famous footballer and hurler. But this is all for their to support building this incredible GAA facility in Kerry. So you'll want to check that out. It's Friday. Can I read it? Friday, February 22nd. We'll give you more information next week where to get the tickets. Because I can't, I'm so blind, I'm such an old geezer. I'll have to get this blown up. George Cahill sent me this, and of course his dad, Black Dave, is from Kerry, and he's very tight with Jimmy Deanahan. Jimmy is the best, I got to tell you. Funny story about Jimmy Deanahan. I had my film, Our Irish Cousins, years ago, and this was when he was in the cabinet. You know, he's a TD, Minister for Culture, and I wanted to put my film into the Jameson Dublin Irish Film Festival. I realized that, you know, they probably looked on me as a Yank, and, you know, I didn't give them the rep that they wanted, and I sent my film in anyway, and I said to Jimmy, "Hey, can you get me in? You know, here's my film." And because I'm from Chicago, and in Chicago, if you want to get something done, you call a politician and you say, "Get me in this film festival." So he obviously made a phone call for me. God bless him. And the woman who runs the Jameson Dublin Film Festival calls me. So I think, this is it. I'm in, right? But as soon as I answer the phone, I know, oh, no. just by her attitude, you know, you're a Yank. And she said, oh, I'm afraid it would ruin you as a filmmaker if we put your film in, because these are snobs here and your film is so American. Yeah, okay, I get it. And she was very put out that I had reached out to Minister Dinahan to try and put the fix in. And he, whenever I see him, he goes, oh, my God, I feel terrible about that. Well, you know, Jimmy, I hope she's not there anymore. But that's showbiz, as they say. We got a little piece of music we could play out? No, we're going to have no more music. All right, so if you have any ideas for police, firefighters, paramedics for the show, get in touch. I'm at MikeHoolihan7@gmail.com. You got to recommend somebody. They got to be Irish, but we'd love to have them on the show. This is our sixth week now. We've had firefighters and paramedics and firefighter and police. I mean, mostly police, I think we've had. But they got the stories, man, like Ray McInerney today. Send us their name and their phone number and their contact information. We'd love to get in touch with them. Although I want to remind everybody, on March 6th, we're going to have Liam Durkin on the show, the great Irish balladeer from the South Side. He's going to Ireland with me in October, so it's kind of a preview of our trip to Ireland. Liam will be doing two shows with us here at Lizzie McNeil's on March 6th. You might want to come by. March 6th, here over at Lizzie McNeil's, 400 North McClure Court. And Liam will be doing like a little mini concert right here at Lizzie's. Give everybody a taste for his great talent. And we'll be talking about going to Ireland and stuff like that. So, thanks so much for tuning in. There we go. And I'm loving this new show. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll see you next week on Hibernian Radio. Some playmates.